ABC local radio across the territory. Nicole Foote sitting in for Annie Gaston. We are going to be speaking to an ex-flight attendant. Because have you ever wondered what it is like to be a flight attendant? It seems so glamorous to be flying across the country, going on world trips, working in first class, and even getting the chance to rub the shoulders with the rich and the famous. It sounds like a dream job, but is it? Well, because in the news recently, a gentleman in New York had a bit of an altercation, well, not an altercation, more of a meltdown, when a passenger refused to sit down and wait until the plane came to a complete stop to collect their luggage from an overhead locker, and was very rude in the process. In other parts of the world, flight attendants for Turkish Airlines, a bunch of them have been told they're overweight and they have to take leave without pay, and they only get their jobs back if they lose that weight. Also, apparently, Indian Airlines have said the same things to some of their female flight attendants. To give us all the goss, we have Linda Louise Anthony, who is an ex-flight attendant. Linda, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, good. Now, flight attendants always seem to be smiling and saying hello and being so polite. Is that really the case? Are you always feeling that happy?
Sometimes it's most of the time behind gritted teeth, especially with those early morning starts, and especially when people, overlook what we would consider to be common sense, common sense questions, children biting you, people changing dirty bums on seats, toilets like you have never seen before, and basically people treating the aircraft like it's their... like a pig pen, I suppose.
And you're the ones who have to clean it all up.
Yes, the airline that I worked for, we were required to clean, as opposed to the old Ansett days where they had cleaners come on board after every leg. We had to clean after every leg ourselves. The Cool and Gather return from Melbourne would be possibly one of the worst flights that you would have to clean. You've got sort of all your, families, coming home from holidays and whatnot, with children, running wild. So those ones are probably the worst ones we had for sure.
It must be hard because you actually get quite a lot of emergency and safety training and first aid training. You have all this emergency knowledge, yet you're just kind of handing out drinks and cleaning up after dirty people. I mean, did that frustrate you when you were working as a flight attendant?
It did. I had an instance in Perth that I remember really well. Obviously, it's a CASA civil aviation requirement that anybody sitting in an overwing exit be read, the safety information, in case we have an accident, you're sitting near that exit and you need to open it, and you obviously have to brief them, as to whether they understand what's required for sitting in that space. And we had a full flight coming from Perth back to Melbourne, and sort of asking the gentleman, and he refused, to make eye contact. And if there happens to be a CASA representative on board, which they often are, monitoring, regulating flights, I would have lost my job had he not, acknowledged what I was saying to him. And he said, I'm not going to listen to you for 30 seconds, let alone, the 2 minutes that you're asking. And I just said, well, if you have a look around, this is a full flight, so you can either listen and acknowledge what I'm saying or you can get off.
What did he say to that?
And then everybody sort of gives the Bronx cheer, and, there comes a point, you can only ask so many times, and I suppose people do just treat you like a glorified waitress a lot of the time, when a lot of the time the things that you're asking people to do are for their own safety. I had a woman who was very upset with me one day for getting her to put her baby, her newborn baby, in the safety seatbelt that's sort of strapped, to the mother.
Yeah.
And she unleashed on me and said it was my fault that her child was going to cry all the way from Adelaide to Melbourne, and how dare I, you know, and when you consider that a woman was killed on a British Airways flight by an unsecured orange hitting her in the temple, wow. You can imagine that if you hit the runway at speed, and it happens, if a newborn baby's head hits the front of the seat, that child will be killed instantly. So, yeah, they're the things that you have to deal with sometimes, and it is often frustrating, I suppose. And when I knew that it was my time to look for another job was when I couldn't quite hold back the answering back, I suppose, of why I'm asking you to do this, not, yes, sir, I'll go and get the supervisor, or I'll, you know, and then when you are the supervisor and people still don't listen and they're saying, well, I'm the customer and I'm not doing that, you can either make the call, you can speak to the captain and ask for an exception, and the captain is the only person that can override a regulation that's been put in place. For example, had a child with cerebral palsy who was very uncomfortable in a safety harness, and on that occasion we allowed that child to sit unrestrained purely because that was too painful and the captain agreed. So
yeah, so you have to go to the higher. What kind of authority do you have? Like, what are you taught in you know, flight attendant training to have to deal with difficult customers so you don't crack like Steve Slater in New York, who jumped off the plane from the emergency exit?
I suppose you're taught to definitely observe passengers when they're boarding to identify any issues before you get up in the air. Christmas time in Sydney, there was a lot of bad weather one year, and we had a football team of you know, big New Zealand rugby players who'd been in the bar for hours and were really aggressive sort of before they got on board. And that was one situation where you have to look at it and say, if you don't sit down now, we're not going to get off the runway on time. And then if they're still arguing, you have to disembark them before you get up in the air, because obviously 4, 5 foot tall, 50 kilo women are going to be able to do nothing once that aircraft gets up in the air if those passengers get out of control. So, you know, there's been instances where we've had to handcuff somebody to a seat, which is a difficult task in itself, where there's fairly small, you know, women trying to do something. But obviously you're trying to identify those problems on the ground so you can deal with them there where you can actually get some help.
It's really interesting because you're saying it's women. And another area that I wanted to do this story and talk to you about is that a lot of, you know, the airlines are saying they're asking their staff to leave unless they lose weight. And yet you're required to do all this heavy kind of stuff sometimes, but there's always this pressure for flight attendants to look good. How did you deal with that kind of pressure all the time?
Yeah, well, you have to be looked over before every shift. Your ponytail has to be a certain length, your stockings have to be a certain colour, your nails have to be a certain colour and unchipped. You have to have the correct coloured eyeshadow on. I remember I had, and it was actually on a training day, and I had a god-awful pimple on my forehead that was absolutely enormous. And I spoke to one of the trainers prior to the start of the day, and I said, look, I've got my fringe kind of sweeping my face today, but that's why, and lifted up my fringe. And she said, oh, that's fine, Linda. And two trainers walked in at lunchtime and proceeded to write me up a written warning for being out of uniform, for having my fringe in my face, even though I had already, you know, tried to explain reason why. Yeah, very, very strict with things like that. I mean, you've got to carry like a 90 or push a 90 kilo garbage trolley and, you know, lift a couple of hundred kilo door, and getting that open in an emergency in high heels, you know, it's quite difficult.
Now, amongst all the awful times, there must be some nice people that you've had on your flights at some time.
Oh, definitely. Like, I remember I found an old woman's purse, and she'd come down from, I think, Cairns to stay with family, and I'm not sure, she'd left her purse on the aircraft that I was on and become very distressed, and I'd finished for the day and I saw her in the boarding lounge with her parents, and my housemate had actually boarded that flight that I had just gotten off. So I texted my girlfriend and she brought the purse home and we actually took it to the woman. So that was a nice story. And look, I did meet some great girls and great guys that I still keep in touch with. And, you know, then obviously people that you get stuck with a four-day-long trip that you absolutely have nothing in common with and you can't stand. So it works both ways. It's definitely a lot of fun. And, I mean, you get to see the country. You get paid for it. You get to stay in amazing hotels and you get paid quite well for what you do. I think, things have changed a bit now and they actually work them a lot harder now than what they did even when I was flying.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing. Well, thanks for lifting the lid and giving us a little peek inside the world of a flight attendant.
It's not all awful. Look, it can be great. But if you're a young person wanting to see the country and wanting to get paid for it, it's a great profession, but, you know, it's one that has an expiry date for sure.
Thank you so much. Linda Louise Anthony, an ex-flight attendant.